This is Rob Miller with the Bear Facts. I want to apologize for not having an episode of my podcast out in a long period of time. I've been sick. Found out I have cancer. I have renal cancer. But I'm going to go back to doing my podcast. Sorry I didn't update y'all on everything. I'm happy for the Braves because they won the World Series this year and made up for what they did last year. But on my next podcast, I'll be talking sports with Sean Morfis. So, and that'll be actually coming up next. I will talk to you later. This is Rob Miller with the Bear Facts. Today I have a guest, Sean Morfis. We're going to be talking about sports. Right now we're talking about the Major League Baseball season coming up. Now, what is your thoughts of this year's baseball season?
Well, baseball, unlike the other two major sports, basketball and football, baseball has a tendency to know or have a good feeling on who's going to win it all before the year even starts. This year, the Braves were an exception last year. They were good enough to win it, but when you have roster talents like, let's say, the Astros or the Dodgers, and the Giants were a nice surprise. Typically, you got a good feeling on who's going to win it all from the word go. Again, this year, the Dodgers, there's no such thing as rebuild. It's just restacking.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got, in my opinion, the best chance, right, you know, starting off to win it all, barring injuries. I think they take it in the NL, even though I know you're a Braves fan. I know they lost Freddie Freeman. I know that's got to be
a thorn. They have gained some people, too.
I was going to say, they did a nice job with Matt Olson, getting him from the Athletics. They got Canley Jensen from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Awesome closer. So they've got some nice pieces in there.
And they got Acuna back this year.
And they got, yes, he'll be healthy and be back in the lineup. And a pitcher who I love, he was for the Rays 2 years ago, but he was with the Braves last year, and that's he's an old guy, but
I don't remember myself right now. I'm sorry. It's just I'll have it, huh? But you know,
but they got some nice pieces.
Yeah, they got some nice pieces.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them again in, you know, for a third time in a row, yeah, being the Braves Dodgers in the NL championship,
yeah,
to see who represents the NL in the World Series.
Now in the American League,
it's a little bit more wide open. You know, I'm a Chicago fan through and through. Cubs, White Sox, I don't care, you name it. But I'm a big White Sox fan, and so I think they'll be better. Even though they lost some pieces, I think they'll be really good this year. And again, I think they'll win the NL Central, AL Central.
AFC.
My apologies.
That's fine.
But I think you got to give the Rays a good look and in representing, and again, the Astros as well. Unfortunately, I'm not an Astros fan at all.
You know,
but
I'm not.
No, but those are the major teams in the AL that I see competing.
Now, the team, I'm saying this because they're my team in the AL, that eventually, hopefully in the next few years, if they get enough players, get players that they need, because they were in the World Series before.
Back-to-back years, yeah.
And that's the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. They signed their two big players they signed in their infield. I believe it was both infielders. Signed for $500 million in a contract. Hopefully that does not take away from other pieces,
yeah,
that they're going to need. Although I did see where they signed on a minor league contract, but still, Matt Carpenter from, you know, played for the Cardinals for so many years.
Yeah.
That's a big piece too. So they're going to be better than last year. I know that for a fact. And with that,
they should be better, but they did, like you say, they don't need to be developing on these big contracts all the time, because I think that's been one of their negative things all through the years,
A-Rod.
Because that's probably what's hurt them since the World Series times that they get all these big names, but they're not going nowhere.
Right.
They need to be there and be there. It's like the Braves. The Braves, they're going to be their head's going to get hunted all the time because they're the defending champions.
You better believe it. Yeah, oh yeah. You better believe it. I'm disappointed that they did let go Jorge Soler. He was a Cub for a couple of years, helped win the 2016 World Series title with them. He was World Series MVP with the Braves. Without him, I don't even think I don't know if you remember exactly, but towards the end of the year, they had let a big lead dwindle down.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was to the Phillies.
Yeah.
And with about the last weekend to go in regular season, the Braves NL East lead dwindled down, I think, to two games.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So without Jorge Soler, they let him go. Yeah. And, of course, Freddie Freeman hurts too. But I think Soler hurts a lot.
Yeah. Soler hurts. Freeman being gone, unfortunately, because I'm a Braves fan, that I have a feeling that was a mistake. It could be. I don't understand the players, they got to get their money. But if you want championships, you need to stay with the team you're at.
I don't think they really tried that hard to re-sign Freeman from what I was reading.
Yeah,
The homework I've done on that situation, because I was, before the lockout, it was locked in pretty much for Freeman to re-sign with the Braves. I mean, that was his one team that he'd been with from the word go.
Yeah.
He just won an MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He just won a World Series last year.
Yeah.
There was no reason in the world for him to have a divorce, so to speak, from the Braves. But from what it seemed like, the Braves didn't do their part in reaching out and saying, hey, come on, let's do this.
That's the weakness in some teams with their management and stuff like that. They just don't work it out right. You need to have, I understand you have these dynasties, you have these different ones, and they keep on because everything's money.
Right.
But if you got your team already set up to go maybe win three or four more World Series,
right,
why break them up?
The 2016 Cubs, it will always be a travesty on how that team won one World Series title.
Yeah.
And then after that, when they let Joe Maddon go, that was the first domino in a long line of dominoes to fall.
Yeah.
Whether him, Epstein, they left, and once they left and they let, somebody who hit a home run for the Cubs in 2016 in Game 7 against Cleveland, he was their he was their head boss. I mean, within 2 years, they just did not.
Well,
and I don't think anybody on that squad right now is from that World Series team. I don't think.
We don't need to hear anything from the dog gallery, folks. I'm sorry, that's my dogs in the house.
Kyle Hendricks is on that team. I think that's the only one I can think of.
That's why I can also compare it to how it was with the Rangers years ago.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of problems, even though Ron Washington had the alcohol, drugs, whatever problems. They could have helped him work that out and kept him on the team.
Josh Hamilton.
They had Josh Hamilton, all that. They could have kept him on the team, even though he's the manager and you have your star player. Josh Hamilton was their star player for years, even though they had other stars.
And where was Ron Washington at this past year?
The Braves.
There you go.
So that tells you the Rangers screwed up.
Yeah.
They should have just went ahead and kept him, got through there. They could have had an interim manager for all I care. I understand that might be break the Major League Baseball rules. I don't care.
Well, what's sad about sports? Sports in life is two different, set of rules, it seems like, because in life, second chances are what this world, what this life is about, being able to forgive and help somebody through issues to see them, on the other side to be a better person.
Yeah.
But with sports, if you mess up one time like that, they just, you're gone.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, Ron Washington will probably be. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
But Ron Washington will probably be a future manager again.
If not, it would also be just as much of a travesty as the Cubs winning one title, because he's a man that seems like these players want to follow. He's a true leader. And yes, he did make mistakes.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's think about it. There's 365 days in a year.
Yeah.
Okay. In a regular season of baseball, there's 162 games.
Yes.
That's not including spring training. That's not including playoffs. And he went to two World Series back-to-back. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to justify. I'm not trying to do anything of the sort.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, you know, he made mistakes. He was under a lot of pressure, under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And so he deserves another chance. He's earned it.
True. And with my Braves, since I'm a Rangers and Braves fan, but with my Braves, what they need to do is almost develop again their pitching staff they had over the years. I mean, they're developing it, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But to develop it enough to where, you know, for 30 or 40 years, they were considered the best pitching staff in the major leagues.
Period. That's the best pitching staff from 1 to 4, 1 to 5, what have you, that I've ever seen. And I'll be turning 41 here in a few months. Uh-huh. I've watched baseball longer than I have watched football. Uh-huh. I'm a sports nut like you.
Yeah.
And to say I've watched my fair share of baseball is an understatement.
Yeah.
So when I say the Braves pitching staff of the 90s is without a doubt the best that I have seen. It's you can take it to the bank.
Well, of course, not to dig at you, but I know there was a former Cub that ended up with the Braves because Greg Maddux, sure, he started off with the Cubs.
Low blow.
He started off with the Cubs.
And he went back to the Cubs. You know, he did go back. Yeah, but his prime it was spent with the Braves. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen a lot of good pitchers in my time watching baseball. A lot of talent. Nobody that I've seen is as talented as Greg Maddux, and I'll just my Cubs. You know, that's my. What am I wearing right now? Cubs.
Yeah.
Cubs shirt, but I bleed Cub blue. I'm not saying that because he was a Cub twice, won a Cy Young with the Cubs, but that's just calling a spade a spade.
Well, with my, like I say, with the Rangers and the Braves, my two, iconic. I'm sorry, folks. Iconic pitchers have been Greg Maddux for the Braves.
Sure.
And Nolan Ryan for the Rangers. Okay. You've had some other great ones with the Rangers, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Another former Cub that was a Rangers, and this is dating it because it's back in the 70s, Fergie Jenkins.
Well, I mean, the Cubs seem to be known for getting some pretty good players and then watching them just go right out the front door. I see Rizzo is a Yankee, and I see the Tigers just signed Javi Baez.
Yeah.
And I see just all these players, man, just come and go, and it breaks my heart. How the Cubs have Greg Maddux and win a Cy Young for that team, and then ship him off immediately after, is beyond me. But it's also, it's par for the course.
Unfortunately, it's all about the money. It's all about the money. Unfortunately.
I mean, you're right. But what it took was for them to get an executive of baseball, somebody who's above the curse, who's bigger than the curse, who's not afraid of that curse, and that was Theo Epstein. And then you get somebody who took a small market, Joe Madden took the Rays.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it took them to, and then everybody else wanted to come to the Cubs, which a lot of that was farm system. A lot of that was, Chris Bryant and et cetera and so forth. Sometimes it just seems like teams are just, they're just content with that one title, a la 2003 Marlins, 2007 Marlins. You know, they win with small market teams, and then boom, gone, everybody. And then the same thing with the Cubs, just about. I mean, they had in 2017, they just, I don't know, they never had that magic, and then once that was dead, they just...
Well, unfortunately, some of those teams don't have the money like what the Yankees do, what the Boston Red Sox do, what the Dodgers have. you know, they don't have that because that's the big market teams. They've been the big market teams since the beginning of Major League Baseball. Well, Dodgers originally were in Brooklyn, yes, but they had the New York market. They had the L.A.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you don't have the cap space like you do.
No.
Like in football.
No.
You know, you know, in basketball, you know, they can dish out. You know, I mean, like I said, the Rangers just signed two players for $500 million.
Yeah.
Billion with a B.
Yeah.
Two players. You know, that's. They have a lot more money in baseball to dish out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and here's the thing about it is the Cubs, they're going to fill their seats because they have a great fan base.
Yeah.
They travel well as well.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it. You know, there's nothing like October baseball or November baseball, as it seems to now trend into November. But there's nothing like October baseball in the Windy City.
Yeah.
You know, to see someone like the Cubs, you know, and it's just, it's going to be a long time, I'm afraid. You know, we can get into that a little bit here, but it's going to be a while before Southsiders.
I'm sure eventually you want to see a White Sox Cubs World Series.
It would be nice. You know, I thought maybe in the strike shortened year, I thought maybe that it was going to be possible. The Cubs, you know, a lot of people probably don't remember this because even it was just 2 years ago, and how things have been lately for the Cubs. But they actually won their division.
Yeah,
and it was only 60 games, I believe it was.
Yeah.
In that COVID shortened season.
Yeah.
So they won their division, and the White Sox, they were, and I had told you prior, you know, to the 2020 season or 2021 season, whatever it was, 2020, I told you that the White Sox were about a full year away from getting to a World Series.
Yeah.
You know, and what did they end up doing? They ended up going into, you know, they extended the playoffs, and it was a best of three.
Yeah,
you know, and whereas, you know, the Cubs they got swept, and the White Sox they won the first game against Oakland, shut them out, and then got beat pretty badly the last two games, and so neither team made it past the first round.
Yeah,
but that's been the closest those two teams have been. Since I've really been watching baseball at the same time.
Of course, I think right now, too, they've changed the playoff system this year where they have eliminated that wild card.
Yes.
One game, wild card game.
I think best of three, is it not?
And best of three now.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, still, you know, they needed to eliminate that one game wild card because you play 162 games.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, like, you know, sometimes 162 games ain't enough. Sometimes they have to go for one more game, you know, to decide.
Yeah.
You know, they've done that before. So, but on a 162 game schedule, you mean to tell me like last year, you know, you had, I mean, what was it? St. Louis, you know, the Cardinals. You know, they were one of the hottest teams in baseball the entire second half. And I think had they took the Dodgers to the brink.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask a team like the Cardinals or what have you, you know, the Cubs a couple of years back when Colorado beat them in a one-game wild card.
Yeah.
You know, you ask teams like that, you know, when you leave your blood, sweat, and tears on the field – and you go 162 games grinding it out, and it comes down to one game?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of many things, rules-wise in sports, that I'm glad has been changed, much like this overtime football playoff.
And the Cardinals could be something this year, actually, even though it's his last year because he wanted to play his last year there. Albert Pujols is back with the Cardinals.
Yeah, and you know, as Greg Maddux is the greatest pitcher that I've seen pitch in my time watching baseball. Albert Pujols, from the moment he started with the Cardinals to the time he left the Cardinals, that is the most feared hitter I've ever seen the most. Now, I mean, as far as I know, he's done everything the right way.
Yeah,
There's been no eyebrows raised to cheating in any way.
No.
So I'm not excluding.
You know, that usually happens after the career sometimes. It doesn't happen during their career.
Yeah, unless you're, unless you're that steroid era of Bonds, McGuire, Sosa.
Canseco.
Canseco. And unfortunately, which hurt my heart a little bit, my brother, God rest his soul, he's passed now, but his favorite team was the Baltimore Orioles. And, when they had Robbie Alomar, and they had Rafael Palmeiro, when he had that look in his eye with the finger pointing, and he said, "I did not do steroids."
And then later
I believed it, because he wasn't one of the ones that was hitting 60 plus home runs, 73 home runs. He didn't do that.
No.
I thought he did things the right way. During that era was about the only time that I mean, other than like Albert Bell, with the cork bat and things like that, but cheating while, you're still playing, things like that. But I mean, but Pujols is and I hated that because they had, I don't know how many times that they played the Cubs each and every, he just, God forbid, two people be on base and them be down, by two with Pujols coming up. You better walk in to load the bases. Because you're about to lose by one.
That's the way I looked at it when he was there, and they played the Braves too. Because they played each other several times in the playoffs.
Very true. Yeah.
So,
and I think that Braves, I mean the Cardinals, took your Rangers to seven games.
Yes.
And I think the other one was the Astros when they were in the NL.
Yeah.
I believe. I mean, not Astros when they were in the NL. Yeah, I guess it was.
No, the Astros, the last time the only teams the Cardinals played that used to be in the AL that went to the NL that they played.
Well, I mean, who'd your Rangers play in back-to-back World Series? One of them was the Cardinals. The other one was
the Giants.
The Giants. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So I can't remember which one took one of them was unfortunately a sweep.
Yeah.
Against your Rangers, and the other one went to Game 7.
And that was the one with the Cardinals, I believe, because I think the Giants swept the Rangers.
Yeah, which was crazy how their little dynasty went. They won every odd number year from 2011, 13, 15.
Yeah.
For pretty much at that time a small market team.
Yeah.
Even though it's San Francisco,
it's
not exactly a small market city,
but
it was a small market team because they didn't have a whole lot of big name other than. A couple pitchers.
In fact, one of them, they had a couple pitchers. They had a few other players that were good, too.
Yeah, especially with their catcher. I mean, Posey was a hell of a player. Yeah. And they had Fear of the Mullet, Tim Lincecum. It wasn't back-to-back.
Yeah.
Back-to-back NL Cy Young award winner. But Fear of the Mullet, Lincecum. It'd be good. Hopefully they use him more than what the Angels did. The Angels Joe Madden pretty much demoted. I think it was more along a mutual, agreement amongst Joe Madden, Pujols. I can't remember who now plays first base for the Angels, but he sat down to give.
Yeah,
more production out of the up and coming.
Yeah, well, he played. I think he played a little bit more when he went to the Dodgers before he went. He was with the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're right.
The Angels was who he was with before the Dodgers.
I want to slap myself in the face. You're right. He did go to the Dodgers and actually had a really productive second half. Of the season with them. Really, I mean, and so hopefully he could. Someone like him who's been a class act, kind of like the Derek Jeter-ish kind of face of baseball in the right way. Hopefully he can continue and, hopefully he goes out the right way. You hate to see all these great players go out and be a former just complete shell.
Well, he was one of the ones that I thought eventually if he played a longer career, which he has, but played a longer career, that he would break Bonds's tainted record.
Thank you. Yeah, the asterisks by Bonds' record that should not be, in my personal opinion. I mean,
still should be Hank Aaron, no matter what. To me,
yeah. I'll, me and you, you know, we talked about this previously. You know, everybody says Hank Aaron should still be the home run king because Bonds broke his record. But and then a lot of people want to throw the asterisk by Bonds' newfound all-time record. However, I was watching what's the show that comes on before PTI, Around the Horn, Around the Horn, and I can't remember who the guy is who hosts Around the Horn off the top of my head right now, you know. But
well, it's a new host. I like the original host,
Max Kellerman.
Oh, it's the original.
Was the original, yeah. Which I liked. I like this new guy. I say new guy. He's been their host now for I don't know a year, 2 years, whatever it was. Either which way, you know, he had a segment on the home run, you know, and whether or not Bonds and Clemens and Sosa and all the steroid era people should be in the Hall of Fame because they went again another year without the proper percentage of votes. And so they, of course, bring up the home run deal and the steroids. But then I can't think of his name, but the host says that in Hank Aaron's autobiography, I mean, in his own book, in his own words, he writes down how he did steroids, you know, and a lot of people, but you don't hear, you don't hear people talk about that. You don't, because a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't, you know, and a lot of it is, I don't know if it's, you know, in the late 90s, social media still wasn't a huge, huge, huge thing, you know, as it's become. So I don't know, you know, what the main difference is, because it's out there for the world to read in Hank Aaron's book. But it never gets brought up. Only Bonds is, you know, but...
Well, you got to think about it. That's probably been going on, actually, since the beginning of baseball. Whether you want to do it or not. You never know. Even even the fat man that was a home run king, Babe Ruth, he wasn't really... He was a fat. He was fat. You never know. He may have been doing...
He might have been... He didn't show it. He didn't look it.
No.
You know, you know, and who knows if he, who knows what kind of career that man would have had had he stayed a hitter from the word go, or if he'd have stayed a pitcher from the word go, or if he had been a hitter from.
If I've told you before, if he'd probably because I looked it up and kind of looked at his stats, probably if he'd if he'd been a pitcher his whole career, it wouldn't be known as a Cy Young Award. It'd be known as a Babe Ruth Award.
There should be several awards called the Babe Ruth Award. You know, there really should be. But no, you're right, 100%. You said, how many did you come up? What number, I mean, roundabout, would he have ended with if he had been a hitter from the word go?
I don't remember the whole exact number, but it was over 1,000 home runs he would
which
have
is a lot more than...
which you wouldn't have heard, you know, okay, you wouldn't have heard, that is more than Bonds. But you also, even though it's in other leagues, you wouldn't have heard of Sadaro in Japan because he had 800, 900 home runs. You wouldn't have heard of Josh Gibson in the Negro Leagues having 800 home runs. Of course, those are different leagues. We go by the Major League Baseball.
Right.
Where we go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But, I mean, because...
Hideki Matsui, as far as you know, regular hits, you know, I mean, there's no telling what he would have finished with had he not... gone from, you know, whatever Japan League, whatever he was in before, then going to the Mariners.
Yeah,
you know, Matsui or not Matsui, he was a Yankee, but I can't
think of it myself. We'll discuss that on. Right. There's certain things I do forget, folks. I'm sorry.
Me as well, because I mean,
I'm you know, and well, what you consider sometimes a pop up in Major League Baseball. Would be a home run in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're smaller field.
Yeah, and that's why teams like, you know, not just the Rockies because of the air, you know, but Boston, you know, that's a very short, you know, the Green Monster might be tall, but it's shallow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a reason why if you want to revitalize your career offensively, you go to Boston and you're going to do just that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, you take David Ortiz, you know, and you look at his number, you know, I mean, was it steroids? Yeah, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to really speculate yes or no on that, but all I do know is the Twins numbers he had for the Minnesota Twins, and then you go to Boston, and he becomes, you know, who he became, and it's just an icon, you know, for Boston, and you know, and a huge, huge, huge part in that 3-0 comeback in the ALCS against the Yankees, which just I absolutely just love. And I could watch games 4 through 7 over and over and over because first time and only time a team ever came back from a 3-0 deficit to win a playoff series in baseball. So, but
well, against the Yankees too, because I hate the Yankees.
Especially, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a big anti-empire, anti-Yankees, anti-New York. Sports team. You know, I just don't like sports fan. I can't think of one. The Jets, maybe, that I've kind of – they've kind of hold a sentimental part in my heart just because
– Well, the only New Jersey, New York team I actually ever followed was in the USFL, the old USFL. Gotcha. Even though I followed – even though the LA Express with Steve Young was my team in there, I followed it because of New York – the New Jersey Generals because they had Herschel Walker.
That makes sense. I mean, so a player like that with that of that magnitude is going to draw, you know, a lot of fan base, and so I can understand that. I don't, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I grew up, growing up, my dad really didn't watch a lot of TV, but he commanded the TV on two occasions, and that's on Saturday was the Hogs basketball, you know, back, you know, Nolan Richard, okay, so and then. Of course, you had you're in the midst of the gold, the second golden era of Dallas Cowboy football. You know, with the trio, triplets, and so he had he it did not matter what else was going on. He was watching a Hogs basketball game on Saturday, and he was watching the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday.
Well,
so growing up, I got four older brothers. Growing up, and so four older brothers and my dad, it just was instilled in me to be a Cowboys fan. But now my choosing, you know, on my own, Bears. You know, I love my Chicago, and I'm diehard Chicago. But I do like my Cowboys as well. Which was, speaking of Herschel Walker, was a huge part, an integral part of them winning 3 out of 4. You know,
It's like me. I was with my dad, since he was a Cowboys fan. I was a Cowboys fan back then. I was a Rangers fan because you could watch Rangers everywhere. We lived up in the Pandale, Texas. You could watch the Rangers. Anywhere.
I mean, awesome.
And, you know, he was there. He was Texas Tech. He became a Razorback fan in basketball when we moved to Arkansas. Ever since then, and I've been a Razorback fan since that time. Before that time, I was a five-slammer jam in between certain times with Arkansas.
Woo, Pig Suey, by the way, back to back Elite Eights.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
But and eventually, hopefully, the next few years, we'll be talking about Musselman in the same words as Nolan Richardson.
Absolutely.
As well, winning national championships.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we will. I mean, he's already drawing five-star recruits, five-star. It's hard to get five-star recruits to come to Arkansas in football or basketball because we just don't have the prestigious program.
And they just signed another one because I watched part of Paul Feinbaum today. They were showing one of the all-star games, like the McDonald's or whichever all-star game.
The high school All-American.
Yeah, he one of the guys, he signed with the Razorbacks right there, because that's how they do it. They do it during the game. Games, sometimes they sign during the game.
Sure. That's huge. That's huge. We don't have the pristine programs like, you know, like Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
You know, or...
Well, Duke, I mean, unfortunately, Duke.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I mean just like the SEC in particular, which in college basketball, you don't really have the prestigious programs like you do in college football.
No.
Not like the Georgia, Alabama, Florida. I mean, even though Florida, they did win back-to-back.
You really haven't had the top dominant teams in college basketball since John Wooden days.
Yeah.
When John Wooden was coach at UCLA and they won those championships so many years in a row, 10 or 11.
That dynasty, and Boston Celtics fans, I'm sorry, you know, of the 60s, you know. But that UCLA dynasty that they had, I just don't see how that'll ever be broke. I don't think. You know, I mean, all records are meant to be broken except for a few. Except for a few of them will never be touched. I don't think Nolan Ryan owns a few. Jerry Rice, I think, owns at least least two. You know, that I'm aware of. But there's a couple that will never be broke. I just don't know if that dynasty ever be. Because, I mean, most teams like Kentucky, you know, they're one and done.
Yeah.
And not just like in this year's
tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, their players, you know, if you like Alabama in college football, if you have, if you put all your stones in one basket, all your eggs, and you're counting on professional sports to be your livelihood, to pay your bills, you're going to go to Alabama if you can.
Yeah.
Alabama college football, because they have an NFL roster every year, you know, on first string and second string, and their third string could be most other teams' starters.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to Kentucky basketball. You know, if you have what it takes, those are the stepping stones, the biggest stepping stones from A to B.
Which has changed over here in college basketball, because it was Kentucky, but it used to be Kentucky and Indiana, because that was the two hotbeds.
Yeah, it was a hotbed too. Yeah,
even for high school basketball.
Yeah,
to make, and then you knew that they would get recruited to Kentucky or Indiana, so they would be the.
Yeah, yeah, and some of these other ones were up there, not to the level that I think Kentucky has been, but like, you know, Kansas. I mean, you know, they had Derrick Rose, and I mean, you know, a lot of these, you know, or no, that was Memphis. But
Memphis had Derrick.
Memphis,
Rose.
Yeah, but Kansas, Memphis, for a short period of time. Duke, you know, but Duke, you know, I'm a North Carolina fan, you know, in college basketball and in college football, the Razorbacks were my second team that I fell in love with. Uh-huh. You know, I grew up with some really close friends who one of them was a huge North Carolina fan in basketball. And I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, and when I found out Michael Jordan went to the UNC, and my buddy was a UNC fan, it just fit.
Yeah.
You know, the shoe fit for Cinderella, so to speak, and that became my team before I was a Razorback fan.
Yeah.
And then in college football, Florida State, Seminoles.
Yeah.
And Duke is such a class act of a program, to where had I not had that friend who was always wearing his starter jacket of big powder blue.
Yeah.
You know, and if it wasn't for that, I probably would have became a Duke fan, just like I would have fell into the crowd, so to speak, I guess, here in Arkansas. You know, being everybody here is St. Louis Cardinals fans in baseball because of something, you know, because 25 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, back when there was a farm system and you know, but
well, the Travelers were the farm team for the Cardinals for like 30 or 40 years, I think.
Yeah, for a long time. You know, and we produced. You know, was it Tom Pagnozzi, J.D. Drew? There's a bunch of players, and I get that.
Yeah.
You know, St. Louis is also one of those, you know, franchises that I probably just because for the most part that I know of, and I could be wrong. I mean, if pretty much a class act, just like Duke. But the thing is, I'm Cubs fan, so.
Well, it's like, you know, back in the 70s and before, and in the NFL, it was Kansas City or St. Louis because the Cardinals weren't in Arizona at the time; they were in St. Louis.
Right.
So a lot of people from Arkansas were probably following the Cardinals and the Chiefs, also the Cowboys. You know, I know you're a Cowboy fan. I'm a 49er fan, but still.
Sir.
But, you know, it's just how things change. But also how it is money-wise, everything has changed over the years. That's how it also determines how your teams are going to be, what players you have.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask you about that. What does determine, like, is there a contract that that the Cardinals had with the Travelers that – So, okay, for the next 5 years?
Yeah, they have to sign a contract every certain years. They have to do that. Or okay. Major League Baseball actually is the one that does, because they're the one that signs the
– Which they had to do. I mean, they had and they had to get some kind of cap, you know, as far as what they can spend on.
Uh-huh.
Because the Yankees, you know, they had the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, anybody who's listening to this can look this up. Just Google how many players – did the Yankees pretty much steal from the Royals, who became just top-notch talent because the Royals, small market team, could not afford these players. And the Yankees was basically a farm, you know, had a farm system Kansas City.
And speaking of the Travelers, and this is just a side note, they need to get their stuff together with Little Rock and North Little Rock. They're having a contract problem right now with Dickie Stevens Park. They need to get that settled, because we need to have, even though it's minor league baseball,
right.
You need to have that baseball team here.
You got to. Yeah, you got to. You know, it's unfortunately as successful as Arkansas baseball overall, you know, has been, whether it be the Hogs or, you know, the Travelers for a good while, you know, it's kind of a travesty how under the radar in baseball, how well we've done. No, we have not brought home a national championship.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long ago that the Hogs was in the World Series, you know, and was one game away.
Yeah.
And I think was in the ninth inning of winning it all, and then we collapsed and then got blown out.
For several years, it was them and South Carolina playing each other in the College World Series for a couple of years.
Yeah.
One
last thing I do want to bring up about Dickie Stevens Park, and not necessarily that, but, you know, for the Hogs, it's a shame that we have lost what was it, two games a year that we play in Little Rock?
Yeah.
That we don't anymore?
Yeah.
You know, that's also a crying shame, because, I've seen the Hogs in college football on numerous occasions. It's been a little while since the last time I went, you know, but it was only because they were playing in Little Rock that I get to go. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping, in a way, since Arkansas and Arkansas State play in college football the next year or whenever they're going to be doing it, even though I know they're both Northern Arkansas teams,
well,
that they need to have the game in Little Rock, because that's your two major colleges you have. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Arkansas, your Razorbacks are the pro team here.
And it is. And it has been. I think it always will be.
Yeah, it always could be. But also, actually, over the last few years, even though the Razorbacks have been good, you know, the Red Wolves had a down year this year. But over the last, 10 years, it's actually been, and I'm not a state fan.
No.
The Red Wolves have been the team going to the bowl games.
Sure.
It may be lower tier bowls, but those are the bowl games at Arkansas.
Yeah, well, you know, the couple years that we had, you know, with thank God I can't even remember his name, and that's a good thing I can't, but the 2 years right before
coach we have now?
Yeah.
You talking about for the Razorbacks or
for the football? Yeah.
Oh yeah, well yeah. When we had John, not John L. Smith, but the coach we had there for a few years, Chad Morris. We shouldn't have
Chad Morris. Yeah, thank you.
That
so
was
much.
A mistake,
and that's a nightmare name that all Hogs fans will. I apologize, you know, but to bring his name up, but you know, I mean, it's
well.
You know, hell, he 2 years and he didn't win one SEC game. No. So yeah, I mean, they're you know.
What they should have done, actually, in a way, and I say this anyway, is they should have kept John L. Smith, the one who was before him, because actually he was the one that taught Petrino, even though Petrino did his stupid shit. Don't get me wrong. Excuse my language, folks. You know, this is unedited.
You'll have to bleep it out.
I don't have to bleep it out if I don't want to.
No.
But I'm just saying, he was a disciple. Petrino was a disciple of John L. Smith.
So. Yeah, he's another one like your Ron Washington.
Yeah.
Same thing. Exact same thing. I mean, made mistakes. Yeah, yeah, he did. But he took us to now, and I think we're on the right path now.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've been through enough downtime since Petrino.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. You know, I think the Wisconsin coach that came. Who's now in Illinois?
You talking about Bielema?
Bielema. You know, when I think he had the right idea, you know, because there's only a certain way you're going to beat teams like Alabama, and that is to protect and run the ball and play defense. You know, and those were the three things, you know, that he really preached and really, you know, excelled at in Arkansas was the offensive line, running backs, and or tight ends, and then playing, you know, defense. But he just lacked a solid quarterback and then some playmaking, you know, playmakers on the offensive end. But But Petrino, you know, had he, I don't know that it was the mistake he made that absolutely got him fired and Jeff Long going in another direction. It was them knowing what he did and then him still lying about it.
Yeah.
You know, had he come clean, you know, I think they may have tried to, you know, work. But then again, he had some good, you know, attractive blonde, you know, on his staff.
Sort of like how it was with, if Paterno with Penn State, if he had known about all the stuff that was going on before.
He did,
I'm sure he knew most of it, but if some of it stopped it.
It's pretty well documented was it offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Or defensive coordinator? I can't remember.
His offensive coordinator.
But I think so. That that was doing the
abuse.
Yeah. That he was much like Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
You know, but in Florida, you know, he knew
of
his coordinator. You know, and with Urban Meyer, it was him. You know, domestic abuse on his wife.
Yeah.
You know, they both knew. They both swept it under the rug.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they tore down and destroyed the statue of Joe Pa outside of Penn State.
Yeah.
And took away his, I mean, a lot of his wins.
Yeah.
Which propelled my boy, you know, Bobby Bowden to be the college football all-time win leader. But I believe they gave Joe Pa back his wins.
They did.
And I think they've rebuilt his statue as well.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know.
Okay, folks. It's enough for this segment right now. We'll be back with more after this.
One last thing before you hit predictions real quick. This is March 29th, correct? Right now, let's do preseason favorites on baseball to go all the way. And Braves. You're saying Braves, not just heart and soul, but you're going mind, heart
Braves.
And soul, okay. And for me, as much as I absolutely, you know, I'm gonna say the Rays. I'm gonna say the Rays.
What I'm hoping in a dream match of mine, of course, and I've been wanting it all the time, if the Rangers ever finally get back to where they were.
They're at a good start.
At a good start. If they do it, I want to see a Braves-Rangers.
Sure. Just like I want to see. I mean, it's been since like 1907, I think, since the Cubs and White Sox played in a World Series.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see is Chicago. But Cubs fans, sorry, it's not this year. White Sox fans, it's possible that they go. Cubs fans,
It's like me, Rangers, they probably won't do it this year. But the Braves they're the defending champions.
They are.
They're going to get – everybody's going to be going after them because they're defending champions.
Bullseye is going to be – you know, you'll have the lowest of the lowest. I'm sorry, Marlins fans, but – the lowest in the NL probably will be the Marlins this year, especially since Derek Jeter left, and that's a whole another kind of topic. But even the Marlins are going to be gunning for the Braves, and that's not just a same division, kind of thing, or anything like that, or same conference. They're going to, I mean, the Braves have got a target on their back, buddy, and they better step up.
One of their kryptonites is the Brewers, unfortunately.
Well, true. Yeah, but I do believe they took out the Brewers.
Yeah, this last year
in the first round.
Yeah, this year,
year.
That after all the years before that,
that was a key injury.
Yeah.
To the Brewers.
Yeah,
hit. I can't remember who it was, but he punched something. You know, broke his hand, and he was out of the playoffs right before it started.
Yeah,
but that don't matter. I mean, injuries are just a part of it. It doesn't matter how.
True.
So I'm a Braves fan as well as you are. Not as big as you are.
Yeah.
I like the Braves. I like the franchise. So I. You know, between my pick and your pick, I'd rather you be right.
Yeah.
I like the Rays.
Yeah.
I like the Braves more, but but my heart's gonna go with the White Sox this year, guy, because I just don't think the Cubs have what it takes to be anything but basement dwellers this year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But like I say, folks, we'll be back after this on the Bear Facts with Robert Miller. This is Rob Miller back with the Bear Facts. My guest is Sean Morfus, and we're still talking about Major League Baseball. Now we're going to do our picks for who we think will go to the World Series.
Hey, Robert. Yeah, so there's been a bunch of off-season signings and acquisitions. It's going to be hard to say. I'm going to go, and it might be because I'm a Chicago fan in all of sports. I'm going to say the White Sox have what it takes this year in a very tough AL to represent the AL and win their pennant. I'm going to say the White Sox, they go up against it's hard not to go against the Dodgers considering who they've got, who they signed, and who they just they don't rebuild, they just restock.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems like they've done again this past off season. And so as much as it pains me to say the Dodgers represent the NL, I'm going to say they win the NL pennant and play the White Sox. And I will not go against the White Sox, nor will I go for the Dodgers. So I will say White Sox in six.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, so I'm going to go be loyal to my Braves. And sure. I'm going to pick them to win the National League. They may have lost their first baseman Freeman to the Dodgers, but they gained a damn good first baseman now.
They did it that, yeah. Yeah. Matt Olson.
Matt Olson.
From the A's, yeah.
Yes. So that should help them out a lot. They got Acuna back.
Yeah. He was hurt all.
And
most of last year, yeah.
They should have back all their players to where they can get back there. Now, in the American League, I'm picking the Toronto Blue Jays.
Interesting.
The reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, over the last few years, they've been up there.
They continue to climb a step each year. Yeah, you're
and,
right.
But this year, I think they will finally get to the top. Even though I'm a Rangers fan,
sure,
and Rangers have fell down, I think they'll win it.
Well, it's two good picks. Just because you're what they call a homer,
yeah,
and choosing the Braves, and I'm being a homer and choosing the White Sox. It's not like we are. It's not out of the realm of possibility for those two teams to represent their, you know, respected leagues in the World Series. The Braves, I'm not sure exactly what they finished with throughout the preseason, and how much can you really go off of the preseason? It depends. But I will say this, through the first five games or six games or whatever it was through the preseason, their starters had given up zero, not a single earned run from their starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have starting pitching like that, that'll carry you all the way through, and you will be playing home baseball in November.
Yeah.
So I definitely get, you know, why you chose the Braves. They did. I would rather have Freddie Freeman than Matt Olson.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not like they went from Freddie Freeman to, a bench warmer.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Olson's a damn good player.
Yeah.
And he deserves the contract that he got. He's got big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But I think they got the right shoes to fill.
Yeah.
So, yes, they did lose. And plus, they got all-star closer. Was it Kenley Jansen?
Yeah.
You know, from the Dodgers. And he's going to be should be a Hall of Famer, considering the numbers he's put up.
Yeah.
So, I absolutely 100%, you know, could see why and where you came away with the Braves. The Blue Jays, that a little bit surprised me. Just for the simple fact, yes, as much as they have climbed a step on the ladder each year, I told you last year with about 3 weeks to go in the season, they were my dark horse.
Yeah.
And it came down to the final game of the regular season, and them, the Yankees and Red Sox, all finished right there neck and neck. And it was, I believe, Boston who came away, with that one spot
yes.
between those three. And so, and that kind of, that hurt me a little bit because I'm big on my picks. You're big on your picks and being right and foreseeing these things. Yeah. And I told you the Blue Jays was my dark horse and that they was going to make it. And they did not. But, but you know, Houston looks, I mean, as tough as ever.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Maddon is going to continue to turn around the Angels, I think.
Yeah.
And so there's some pretty good picks out there. Boston, of course. And you can't ever count out the evil empire.
True.
But
my pick for the World Series to win the World Series, of course, is the Braves.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be a homer doing that. I just think that they're in the point of where they could be a dynasty like they should have been back in the 90s.
Sure. Yeah, and it's a travesty. It's one of the... one of the world's biggest mysteries. I mean, right up there with what is our purpose in life?
Yeah.
What, I mean, that kind of mystery on how that team won one World Series with that great pitching is beyond me. You know, that's the all-time greatest 1-4 pitching staff I've ever seen and probably will ever see is during those mid-90s with a great manager and great offense. To be honest with you, I don't know how they did not win more than one.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I'm a Cubs fan. You know, I was a Chicago fan before I realized that you had to be either a White Sox or a Cubs fan, that you could not be both. But I grew up at such a young age, like in baseball, I did not know that rule. So, yes, I do like the White Sox. Yes, I do like the Cubs.
Yeah.
And so it'd be nice to see Atlanta not do what the Cubs did and basically win the World Series. And then a year and a half later, nobody plays on that team anymore that won the World Series. So for them to be a dynasty is not something out of expectations.
True. Okay. That's it for this segment of the Bear Facts. We'll be back here in a few minutes to talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll be back after this. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Bear Facts with my guest, Sean Morfus. We're now going to preview the NBA playoffs.
Hey, Robert. First round of the NBA playoffs typically goes as expected. And that's just being typical basketball. Sorry. However, this year it may be a little bit different. You know, you got teams like Minnesota grabbing a 1-0 lead. You know, on Memphis as a 7th seed. You got Utah trying to take advantage and actually stole home court away from Dallas. With Doncic being out for the first couple games, they went 1-1. And then also in the East, and I think the biggest series to watch in the first round is Boston and the Nets. And there's a lot of little subplots there going on, you know, with Kyrie Irving recently playing for Boston, mm-hmm. and of course him being an idiot. And he is an all world talent. Don't get me wrong, but he's an idiot,
mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on there with, all world talents like Jason Tatum, you know, and Kevin Durant, and then you got Ben Simmons, and then like I said, the Kyrie Irving deal. So that's going to be very interesting to watch in the first round, and I think the biggest thing to watch Celtics Nets series.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask you some certain questions. I'll give you my opinions on it, too. This is on the matchups of the... Okay?
First round?
Yeah, the first rounds. Okay, in the Eastern Conference, number one seed, Miami Heat versus the Atlanta Hawks.
I see a sweep there, to be honest with you. I see a clean sweep. This is not the same Atlanta Hawks team as last year. Atlanta got hot at the right time last year. They caught a New York team last year in the second round that has... that overachieved last year, that really, like I said, they weren't even really supposed to be there. Not a lot of people thought at the beginning of the year. And so they got hot at the right time playing an overachiever, and they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. But considering how much energy they've had to put out there towards the end of the year just to get into a play-in series, and then to win there less than 24 hours later, they're playing the number one overall seed, you know, and a lockdown defensive player like Jimmy Butler on Trae Young, forget about it. I see a clean sweep.
Well, I was expecting them Atlanta to do better, go further up higher in the playoffs this year because of Trae Young.
Sure.
Because of the way they played last year.
Yeah.
But I'm also picking Miami to win. I think that Atlanta might get one out of the game out of it.
Think so.
But I still think Miami's going to win that series.
In five?
In five.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Philadelphia and Toronto.
You know, I see Toronto winning one game. Mm-hmm. I see them winning just one game. I see the Sixers taking that in five, you know.
I do agree with you that, too, because Philadelphia's, I say, a better team this year.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Ben Simmons, they got that whole
thing out, and Embiid is their star player, so they should be able to.
And James Harden is James Harden, world class. I mean,
they should be able to should make it past Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's your involving your team here, the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Chicago Bulls.
Well, now let me just say, you give me the Chicago Bulls at the All-Star break when they were. The game before the All-Star break, they lost, and they gave Miami the number one seed at that time by one game.
Yeah.
The Bulls were in second place in the Eastern Conference by one game, and they had been playing lights out throughout the entire first half of the season. They've had, you know, not to give them any kind of excuses or anything like that. They've had a number of injuries. And who would have thought LaVar Ball would be where he is today, you know, as in terms of three-point shooting percentage and that kind of stuff compared to when he, you know, his first year or two with L.A.
Yeah.
But you give me that team, and then I'm going to take Chicago.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
You give me today's Chicago with that lineup, then I'm going to take Milwaukee, and I'll be – I don't think DeMar DeRozan will allow them to get swept. Yeah. I'm going to say Milwaukee, unfortunately. I think a lot of the first-round matchups are going to go early, but I'm going to say Milwaukee in five.
Okay, well, the Milwaukee's in Chicago's one of them that I might think go seven.
Oh, wow.
Because
I hope you're right.
Because the way both of them can be, and, you know, one of the seeds like Chicago is the number six seed. They could come up and surprise you.
Yeah.
You never know.
And Zach LaVine can go off.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine can go off. And DeMar DeRozan can absolutely light you up. And we saw back in the regular season, he hit back-to-back three-pointer buzzer beaters in back-to-back games to win. He's got the clutch gene. You know, he's got the experience. He went to many playoff, you know, played many playoff games with Toronto. He's got what it takes. I would be shocked if it goes seven. I hope, but then again, I'll be pleasantly shocked if it goes seven.
Yeah. Okay, and then the last one in the East is Boston and Brooklyn.
Oof. I'm going to tell you, that one goes seven. To me, that goes seven. You know, they've got to get – Boston needs to get – was it Robert Williams? I think it's out for them. He's been hurt. He's supposed to be coming back. Okay, so – but – even when he comes back, and even if he gets enough minutes to play, you know, anywhere close to what he was, I still don't see that going anything short of seven.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I go back and forth on this. I do, but I'm gonna say Kevin Durant hits a game seven buzzer beater, and Brooklyn goes on to in round two. In game seven.
I agree with you that with Brooklyn winning, and they're supposed to get the one from Philadelphia that they just got. Ben Simmons. I'm sorry I lost my mind on that, folks. But they're supposed to get Ben Simmons maybe in game three. Maybe he'll be different with Brooklyn than he was with Philadelphia, but we never know.
But you know as well as I do, we've seen it a million times before, and we're going to see it again. that. A physical injury is, yes, you can come back from that about the same, but when it's a mental injury, mm-hmm. so to speak,
yeah.
after what he suffered in Philadelphia and his collapse in trying to avoid the free throw line in their playoff loss, I don't think he ever, not now, not ever, I don't think he ever comes back from that.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be interesting to see, especially because Philadelphia and Brooklyn, if they were to play one another, that would be just an absolute awesome matchup.
True that. Okay, going into the Western Conference, we have the Phoenix Suns versus New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see the Pelicans winning a game there. Phoenix is just all-world kind of talent and coached. So I just can't help but seeing a clean sweep there.
Yeah, and same with me. I just feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, if New Orleans, if their star players and they got would go through and finally do what they're supposed to, they would be more.
On,
but
whatever play, I'm with you. Yeah.
Dallas and Utah.
Well, I think for the first time in young Luka Doncic's career, they see the second round.
That's also if he comes back.
Comes back. Now, he's supposed to be out for this, for game two like he just was. They're hoping he comes back for game three.
Yeah.
If so, they're still going to have to kind of restrict him a little bit on minutes so they don't cause more long-term damage than short-term. But I'm telling you, they've got Dinwiddie is a great, great acquisition midseason that they got for Porzingis.
Yeah.
And he may not light you up for 40 every night or what have you, but he's a guaranteed 25 points, 8 rebounds, him along with Brunson lit it up for 41.
Yeah.
So as long as they get Doncic back for game three, then I'm going to say the Mavericks in seven. If not, if they don't get him back in game three, then I'm going to have to say the Jazz in six.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same way, and actually they might want to put it sometimes in there, even though they're both shooting guards, at some time they might want to put Brunson and Doncic. Put them in at the same time. That way they can have out there the scoring, because Brunson's been taking over the scoring that Doncic usually does. So
exactly.
But this is playoff time. You need to have your strong players at the time, and that could be somebody that usually is off the bench. Just put him in just for the heck of it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have someone out there. And when you can light up a team, a defensive team, really like the Utah Jazz, when you can light them up and go 15 for 25, like Brunson did, and not just 41 points, but he grabbed 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
So it's not like he didn't have a great overall kind of game. But if you can do that, and if you can just get part of that with a 80% healthy Doncic, then I see the Mavericks in seven. If not, I see the Jazz going on and ride Donovan Mitchell all the way to the next round.
Yeah. Well, I say the Mavericks in seven too. But like you say, if Doncic is not able to play, it'll be Utah to win it. As much as I love the Mavericks, I'm just being honest.
You got to be. I mean, or else you. People won't be listening to you if you're strictly going for you got to use your head, know, and not always your gut or your heart.
Yeah.
But you got to use your, your head.
Okay, and then we got Golden State and Denver.
I've been a pretty big Denver fan over the last few years. I thought they surprised me around bubble time, when they came back from two different 3-1 deficits in the playoffs to come back and win game seven, including one against, which I kind of thought was funny, was against the Clippers, that team was supposed to be,
all world. They were supposed to be the actually ones instead of the Lakers winning the championships.
You betcha, it sure was. And they had a 3-1 lead on Denver, and Denver come back and took that. And went all the way to the Western Conference Finals, but since then, yes, they are riding the Joker, which he's all-world talent, you know, as well. And he can carry you, but only so far. Ever since Michael Porter Jr. has been out, ever since, let's see, was it Jamal Murray? Mm-hmm. You know, both all-stars, you know, but without them, I don't see... I don't see Denver winning.
Yeah,
I don't see Denver winning a single game. I really don't. Yeah. Not without those two, you know. And then you got someone like Klay Thompson, who has come back. And you know, do you know who led Golden State in their was it game two?
That was him.
Who led them in minutes?
It was Klay Thompson. They had Stephen come off the bench.
Yeah, he come off the bench. You know, but Klay Thompson, 35 minutes. You got that kind of minute production with that kind of sharpshooter, the second best shooting NBA player that I've ever seen behind Steph Curry. That team's going to go real far in this year's playoffs with those injuries that Denver cannot seem to just escape from. With those two caliber players and Michael Porter and Jamal Murray, Denver might win one game in Denver, but I'm going to say clean sweep for Golden State.
I'm going to say the same thing because they got everybody back. Golden State has everybody back this year. The last few years they've been hurting because they've had all their players get hurt or it's hurt them where they hadn't gone so far. And they got considered probably the best, maybe the best of this times with Stephen Curry. Compared to some other times. I mean, you have other names out there, but Steph Curry, if you play him, and he's dangerous from anywhere.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get him, even half court, if he can shoot a day if he has to.
Well, I think it was in practice, wasn't it, where he had over, was it 100? It was an ungodly number of threes in a row. It was 100, something like that.
Yeah.
So he'll light you up from underneath your own basketball goal. So he's number one that I've ever seen in terms of shooter.
Yeah.
Now, I still think he's got another level, to step it up when it comes to playoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's it. And the last series we're going to talk about in the West is Memphis versus Minnesota.
See that one.
I was shocked in the first game.
Yeah, that one again is going to be one to watch. Seventh seed Minnesota, you know, upset them in game one. You know, Memphis. You know, I think they had playoff jitters because they're not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would have picked them at the beginning of the year. Nobody would have picked them. Not even people in Memphis would have picked them to be a number two seed going into the playoffs this year.
No.
And so I think the spotlight got to them.
Yeah.
I think the playoffs got to them.
Yeah.
And I think expectations got to them.
Yeah.
I think they shake it off. I think they win in six.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking they'll be a seven-game series myself right now, but Memphis winning. Because they have potentially another one that could be MVP for years and years and years, and John Morant.
Oh, he's all world talent too.
So
he's tough. Yeah.
So that's what I got. And I know we'll review the next podcast some other the rounds, but right now with my picks, I'm going to say a pre-playoff pick to win it all. To not win it all, but to go into the NBA. Finals and then win it all. I'm picking the Miami Heat. I am, even though they're the number one overall seed,
and deservingly so. Yeah.
And then I'm actually, as much as I'm not going to be a homer because I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan. I would love the Mavericks to win it all, but I would not be surprised. Like I say, since he's a future MVP, and they. Lost the first game of the playoffs, but they'll get their heads back to where they are. And this could be a surprise team to everybody, and that's Memphis.
Wow. I'm taken aback at that at Memphis being your pick out of the West. It's hard to not go with Miami out of the East. It's just hard not to, you know. But I'm gonna say this one. Even though the East has players like Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler and all these great players, they still got to be the best. And if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. And they've got to take down Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And so with and I apologize for if I
offend some people.
Maybe by not pronouncing, you know, his name right, but
Giannis.
Thank you. I was trying to say his last name, but
it's better to call him Giannis. That's what everybody calls him.
Well, Giannis is, you know, and I'm a big Kevin Durant fan.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Boston Celtics fan.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a big Jason Tatum fan. But,
yeah.
They know the targets on their back.
Yeah.
They know what they got to do, and they did it last year, and I see them going back and repeating the East's, I think they're going to be in the finals.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, and I'm going to say, honestly, I hate to see back-to-back finals, really, but I'm going to say Phoenix and Milwaukee, okay. And I say Phoenix this time takes them out in six games.
Well, I picked Miami and Memphis, but I picked Miami to win in game seven.
Game seven.
I think it's going to be a seven-game series because Memphis could be the surprise team this year. You never know. So,
that's true.
So,
yeah. They are. So they've been the surprise team of this year so far, from beginning to end. The Bulls were, I think, in the East. They are about where people thought they would be in as the sixth seed. So that's a good pick. It's good. I could see them being the West, but I just don't think they've got what it takes yet.
Yeah.
To overthrow a team like Phoenix or Golden State.
Yeah. Okay, folks, that's it for this episode of the Bear Facts with Robert Miller. I will see you or talk to you next time.
Until next time, guys.
Make sure to listen to me on Spotify and other streaming sites.